Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is this week's installment of Broad Appeal. Before I bring back my next guest, I wanted to share some breaking news with you. A federal judge has issued an injunction blocking the Trump administration from freezing Harvard's funding, calling the anti-Semitism, quote, excuse, a smokescreen for a targeted, ideologically motivated assault on this country's premier universities, end quote. I should say, I didn't know what my afternoon's reading was going to be, but I think that decision from the federal court judge hearing that case is going to be first on my afternoon reading list. That should make for some interesting note-taking, apparently some absolutely scathing language from the judge in that case. I have got a Harvard Law School graduate with me this afternoon. It is attorney, but more importantly for these purposes, State Senator Jody Habish-Sinkin. She's joining me today. We've been talking about her passion for natural resources and preservation here in the state of Wisconsin and her sponsorship of a bill to fund, again, the Knowles Nelson Stewardship Program, a program that's been in place since 1989, And if you remember Wisconsin political history, and you remember back, that was under Republican and much revered Governor Tommy Thompson. And yet somehow we can't figure out how to fund it today. Welcome back, and thanks for sticking around, Senator Habish-Sinkin. During the break, you were telling me that funding stalled in the Joint Finance Committee during this last biennial budget deliberation and then ended up dying due to an anonymous objection at the JFC, which I thought was very interesting. Why we even allow such things in a legislative proceeding is beyond me. But tell us a little bit about what happened in this last cycle.
Well, actually, what happened during this budget was that not one single Republican voted in favor of it. The Democrats really had fought to have Knowles Nelson included in this year's budget, and Senate Democrats introduced an amendment, but not one single Republican voted in its favor. What I was mentioning with regard to the anonymous objection had to do with what the Supreme Court recently ruled as unconstitutional, which was these anonymous objections for these land acquisitions. It came up actually in my own election against my opponent at that point, which was in the Cedar Gorge Clay Bluffs. There came in late an anonymous objection to this far, much loved project, and no one knew who it was coming from, but it was special interest with a winery and McMansions, and people were not at all happy with that process. The process that we are proposing with this bipartisan, multi-group individual with the oversight and transparency is an absolute answer and an antidote to that prior system, which has been rendered and ruled unconstitutional.
Yeah, thank you for that clarification. I had misunderstood your comments during our break. And that state Supreme Court decision was quite critical of what I'm calling these legislative hijinks, kind of these little logistical rules that permitted legislators, without publicly opposing things, to kill projects like the funding of this particular program through legislative backdoor maneuvering. It's the absolute opposite of accountability and transparency in government. The other element that I wanted to touch upon before we turn to some of the fun stuff, if you will, was the simple idea of land transactions, not just is it timely, and not just if you have to submit it to the entire legislature, will it not be timely, and it opens up the possibility for billionaire overlords and lobbyists to insert themselves into this process, but the very logistics of getting a land transaction through a legislature, I can just say, as the former chief legal officer for Milwaukee County, it would be insane. You cannot have legislators redlining and amending agreements as if they're A, lawyers, or B, the correct subject matter expert, or C, in the right position to negotiate these kinds of land transactions. Am I overstating that? But it just seems completely like such nonsense to me that that would even be considered an appropriate process.
I 100% agree. And that is literally why when we're coming forward with this thoughtful proposal as a starting point for negotiations, that we are coming right out and being open that the money, the funding for the program is less important to us than the integrity of the program, maintaining the ability of the program to maintain the properties that we as taxpayers have already invested in over all these decades, as well as have that ability when one of those key land acquisitions becomes possible, that we can act in a way with proper oversight that doesn't end in partisan gridlock, which would be inevitable through the legislative process, and also just be entirely opaque.
Yeah.
And apart from what the public could understand, it would just get lost in all the committees and the process. So that's really where we're starting. And I have to say, I am hopeful.
Yes.
That there are, we have support on both sides of the aisle on this. We have Wisconsinites from every part of the state, every county is supporting this. My own office, Senate District 8, we've gotten more letters and more calls on this program, reauthorizing it, than any other matter. And that's saying a lot. So I just am really feeling optimistic and hopeful that we will be able to work productively with Republicans and get this beloved program across the finish line.
Folks, pick up the phone, get your emails out, call your state senators and state representatives and tell them to back State Senator Jody Habish-Sinkin's proposal to reinvigorate, refund, and put proper oversight in for the Knowles-Nelson Stewardship Program. We're going to have to leave it there. Next time we come back, we're doing just fun stuff. Okay, not just fun stuff. We'll do politics, but then some more fun stuff. Thank you so much, State Senator Jody Habish-Sinkin. Folks, you're going to want to stay tuned. I'm going to be joined by Lieutenant Diane Goldstein, Executive Director of the Law Enforcement Action Partnership, next.